So, homies, I want to talk to you about a serious epidemic going on across the nation. It is a quiet epidemic, so your friends may be suffering. And if they are, don't ignore the signs. You need to help them, whomever they are. Guy, girl, doesn't matter. It can affect anyone out there, okay? Q is infected with this epidemic, okay? Let me tell you what the signs are, and then you'll know the sickness I'm talking about. To sit down at the table tonight, you know, Q and I had to spend an extra 10 minutes on top of the time, you know, we necessarily didn't have to spend in order to, you know, turn on the mics and get the show ready so we could start talking to you all today. The reason why, there were books in the way. If you look at my old chair, there are still books in the way across the table where I used to sit to record our episodes. There are books in the way. If I turn behind me, I see a bookshelf with what's that on top of it, Quentin? What's over there?
I do believe that books go.
That's what I'm talking about. No, no, they're on top, not in the bookshelf, brother. There's a difference. It is a symptom. Look behind you. What's on top of that bookshelf besides the awesome collectible statues of which you have? I believe there's four of them. What are they, Quentin? What are they, Quentin? Come on, brother. Play ball with me.
This narrative isn't fair.
Okay, okay. Brother, I'm helping you. This is an intervention of sorts. You are suffering, my friend, from the epidemic of which so many others like unto us suffer. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls listening, there are books on each bookshelf that are not shelved. There are books I had to put on the couch because we didn't have room. There are books on my bookshelf that don't belong to me to make room for Quentin. So, homies, send us some love. For every like and subscription and follow that we get henceforth, you'll be voting for Quentin to get him a bookshelf. Because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is right. You are guessing correctly. Quentin is a collector who's run out of room. And it is a sad epidemic. It is a very unfortunate disease.
I'll have you know a couple of things. One,
what's on your mind, brother?
One, I don't have a problem.
That's the first thing everyone with the problem says. I don't have a problem as they do another bump, you know, as they clean another line off the table.
I want you to know that I could stop any time. I could, okay.
Oh, no, you can't. No, you can't. How many books are in queue right now? How many books are in your shopping queue, in your cart, online right now?
Irrelevant.
Okay. Irrelevant. Get out of
here. Secondly,
get out of here.
When it comes time for me to need a new bookshelf, I will get a new bookshelf.
But when it comes time, I'm sorry. Let's put an asterisk after the word time up there. When will time be? Will we start have to put books in my bedroom?
Speaking of time, I think that Loki may eventually answer that question.
Well, as a god of chaos, belittled as he was here, I don't believe he'll ever want to answer that. Homies, of course, I'm only jabbing at Q. You know I'm digging the collection hardcore, brother. I had to wait. I had that cold open in the chamber for almost a month now. I had to wait till you got another book. And not just one. That box had two Omnis in it, which is great. Actually, speaking of which, where's the Superman one? I didn't see it.
Soup is, he's right over here.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Right next to Injustice. So it's, you know, Batman, mm-hmm. and it's Superman, Batman, then Superman, Batman Generations, then Injustice 1 and 2.
Right. Which the spines look great because on the spines is Superman on the first Omni, and then on Injustice volumes 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, Year Zero, we have Batman on that spine. So it looks great. Great aesthetic.
Oh, yeah. I really dig the dust jackets on those. I like when they get creative with their dust jackets so that they look good together.
Before my cold open ends, homies, one more thing, reiteration here. So there is a new genre of episode that Q and I have been anxious to pull the trigger on for quite some time. Later this month, we'll finally get to it. Q's Reading Corner, where we actually get to talk in depth about Q's collection and what he intends to do with them, which one gets to be the next Baby Red. That's a strange sentence out of context. You read babies, bruh?
I'm the baby reader. I can tell you what your baby's thinking.
You just like look at a woman holding her baby, and you just like grab the baby real quick. You just like cusp right around the head. You cradle it softly. Like,
oh no, I grab it by the top. I palm it like a basketball.
Oh, okay. that's and how. You just like pull that shit up.
This baby is thinking he's uncomfortable right now.
This baby's about to cry. Yeah. Wah! Yep, what I say. In that case, we're all psychics, damn.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that segment. That's going to be a fun, mm-hmm. fun episode to do. I don't have a problem.
My bookshelf.
I'll say this, and then we'll get this show on the road here. Mm. The problem with buying bookshelves is like, that's a copious amount of money that I could be spending on comics. And it's such a dilemma.
It is, but your books will appreciate it if only they could talk.
Well, they have plenty of words, so I can
get the fuck out of here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is up?
Yes, homies, welcome back to another episode of the Superhero Homies Podcast, the Shorties Loki Edition. My name is Quentin, and as always, I'm here with the homie Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how are you guys all doing out there? Damn, it is time for another Shorties. And brother, of course that Shorties is being brought to us again by Disney Plus. Of course, you all know by now I'm talking about Loki. Hiddlestoners everywhere have just blown up.
Is that a thing? Hiddlestoners?
Yeah, you've never heard. Yeah, no. The Hiddlestoners. Yeah. It is a pure term of fandom. No. I wish I was that creative. Unfortunately, as most of my best content, I have robbed it from someone else.
Goddamn colonizer.
Yeah. Wait, no. How dare you? That was. I think I got that from the Graham Norton show. Like, Jay were talking about the Hiddlestoners. And it's an actual thing, like a group of people who are just like diehard Tom Hiddleston fans. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's also the term that helps me remember his last name, Hiddleston, yeah. Not Riddleston. Because I keep wanting to say Riddleston.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
So, yeah. The thoughts of Kevin.
Yeah. Tom is, he's been a constant source of, ironically enough, of good in the MCU in terms of his portrayal as Loki. I've always really enjoyed him as Loki, and man, still to this day, guys. Yeah, if you go back and watch Thor 1, and you'll see just how masterful he is. You know, there's a scene, and again, this is a scene that I don't think a lot of people talk about. I really enjoy a lot of the quieter moments in these movies that are full of acting prowess, you know what I mean? Like, there's one scene in Thor 1, man, where it's Odin, Thor, and Loki, and Loki isn't saying shit, and it's really just Odin and Thor arguing, and Tom, with just his facial gestures, does such a great job of selling who he is as a character. Mm-hmm. While Anthony Hopkins is putting on a clinic, and Chris Hemsworth is showing why he was cast as Thor, you know what I mean? Like, it was a great moment in Thor 1. One of my favorite moments seeing the Asgardians on screen. Period.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. But no, so we all know that Tom Hiddleston has been playing Loki since 2010, 11 years now. Long time, man, and he's become a fan favorite.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. You know, we talk about Chris Evans being born to be Captain America, or especially Robert Downey Jr. being mm-hmm. born to be Iron Man. That's another name that deserves the same praise on the same exact level. Tom was born to be Loki.
And the interesting thing about that is he auditioned for Thor.
And that's hilarious. I saw the pictures from that. It's like, you know, he probably would have been a good Thor, mm-hmm. but I got so used to seeing a jacked Thor.
Well, that's the thing. He probably would have gotten jacked for it. Because Chris Hemsworth pre-Thor. Like, if you guys look at Chris pre-Thor. He really wasn't. He's not the colossal giant that we see today.
Which is kind of funny because it was the size of Chris Hemsworth that kind of like gave John Krasinski the, well, maybe I don't want to do this vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. But here we are now, picking up with Loki Episode 1. So before we proceed, there will be full spoilers ahead for this episode. So if you haven't seen the show yet, take a pause break from the podcast and go watch it, and then come back and resume the episode.
Again, Disney Plus, but we all knew that.
Yep, Disney Plus. So I did have what I thought was a very interesting question, but just in light of the episode, I think it'd probably be best if we save it for the end of the podcast. So if I remember, I'll ask it then.
I hope you do.
Yeah.
Hope you do. I like interesting questions.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and start off with this, man. Now, what you think of this episode, this opener?
So I was, first off, just to kind of like, you know, give ourselves a pat on the back, I liked just how damn on the money we were in our preview episode. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. We surmised what the plot was going to be, and we were right on the fucking money.
Yep.
Now, granted, we've only seen one episode, so there's room for that to either develop or change, but... yeah, overall, it was pretty awesome. Tom took the spotlight, as he should have, because it's his show. You know,
right.
He's the man on the daggum title card, so yeah. But yeah, he did not miss a beat. It picks up exactly where we needed it to, where we discussed it, where it's like, okay, this man just got away scot-free from the Avengers in a critical moment with the Tesseract in hand. What the fuck is going to happen there? And then they were quickly able to direct the story in such a way where it explains what happened to the Tesseract and why Loki no longer has it in all the things we've seen of the show thus far. It's creative, dude. It is. And remember, do you remember the name of the Time Police? Calling them Time Police in my brain.
The TVA, Time Variance Authority.
Gotcha, that's right. Because they hate variants, and Loki became a variant.
Yeah, he is a variant.
How dare he?
For the most part, I enjoyed this episode. I do have problems with it. There are things...
Oh, no, there's a big problem we gotta talk about. Remember, I actually, like, we paused and had to, like, wait a minute now. Yeah.
Yeah, there's things I enjoyed about this and things about this episode that I did not enjoy. Things from a structural standpoint as well as from a storytelling standpoint. Even things with, like, with treatment of characters. I'll go ahead and say this. Like, I don't like the way that Loki's being treated here. I don't like the way that he's being portrayed. I mean, I like the portrayal by Tom Hiddleston. I don't like the writing around him so much in this episode. And what I mean by that is... I always remember, like, moments that made me, you know, feel some type of emotion during movies. Like, that, those are the things that I attach to. Like, that moment I just mentioned earlier about, you know, Thor 1, the scene between Odin, Thor, and Loki, you know what I mean? Like, it's a quieter scene that isn't talked about, but it had emotional impact with me, so I remember it.
Sure.
Another moment that I always look back on is in Avengers 1. I remember in Avengers 1, there was a moment when Captain America arrives on the scene before the team was formed, and Cap is taking on Loki one-on-one. And in that fight, I remember sitting in the theater thinking, oh man, I hope that somebody else shows up soon because I don't know how long Cap can last. Fast forward to today, Loki's been taken down by bodyguards. And it's like, what happened to the intimidation factor of so many of these characters? And I don't want to go down, you know, a familiar road that we've been down so many times before, but...
A familiar gripe.
Yeah.
I kind of see what you're putting down, though, and it makes total sense.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting, a little disheartening even, to see that, okay, the God of Mischief... He was reduced to just being a punching bag for jokes, some of which landed, some didn't.
And that's actually a fair point, because remember also in Thor 1, the first time we saw Loki, he was a warrior on the battlefield. Like, he was using, remember, the dual knives alongside Thor and the others in a fight.
Thor 1?
Yeah. This was when Loki was still seen as the good you know, adopted brother. And then it was, surprise, I'm Loki. I'm going to betray. Ha ha.
Oh.
We'll go back to it later. But, yeah, no. That's actually a fair point you bring up. Yeah. Unfortunately, and I shake my head at this because it's not a good answer, and nor would I even call it an answer, but it is sadly the truth. It is the writer's truth happening here, where that's, for the plot that they wanted to sell, that was critical to happen. Yeah. And it's unfortunate how true that is, because, again, spoilers ahead. So the time variance...
Fucking authority.
Thank you, yep. Authority. The time fucking police is what my brain keeps calling them. I'm not entirely wrong there. They had to be able to take over Loki in that critical beginning moment in order for him to even become associated with this authority.
Yeah.
To begin the entirety of the show. Otherwise, this would have been a, you know, honest trailers how it really should have ended moment right. Of, shout out to both those channels, of the guards come in, Loki's like, I'm sorry, who do you think you are? And then, boom, quick problem solved. And Loki's like, well, got the Tesseract, guess I'll go back to Asgard and use it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, it's like, and I know that there's always, you know, MCU stands or even MCU apologists. Well, no, they don't really exist, because to be an apologist, you have to, like, be really real versed in something. But there's always those MCU stands who would try to defend something no matter what, and their defense would be, well, Loki has to get captured somehow to be taken to the TVA. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But the man can put up a fight. It's the way they did it.
Yeah.
You can send a dozen guards down, you know, that have some technology that Loki's never seen before, and have his arrogance be his ultimate downfall. I mean, that's his problem. But no, instead of that, it was, you know, a joke akin to something we've seen in Ragnarok, you know, the old tase, you know, or slow-mo punch, you know, or something.
The time stick.
Yeah, yeah, they called it the...
The time baton.
Yeah. They called it the time twister, the device they used, which is funny because the time twister is actually a characters in the Marvel comics. The time twisters were like... basically perverted versions of, like, the Time Lords, or, like, what they call the Space Lizards.
Now, when you say perverted...
Yeah, not as in...
I'm going to go backwards in time on that.
Yeah, not that kind of perverted. Perverted as in, like, twisted, demented.
And then you said lizard, so in my brain, it was just, like, a Slytherin man with the tails, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, not nothing like that. But anywho... I didn't have a problem with Loki getting captured. It's more so
right, how. Right. Yeah. And that is true, and that is important. To the more careful eye, that can be a downtrodden coincidence, yeah. Because it's like, well...
And it went hurts. On and on and on. I mean, he was literally belittled this entire episode.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
That's the part that kind of got me a little bit, where it's like the entirety of this time police force. Don't tell me the name. I don't fucking care anymore. I'm not going to try to remember. They're just the time police, because that's what they act like. But in this case, it's almost slapstickish in a manner where it's like, okay, we're going to make you do this ridiculous, like the waiting line bit. That was just a bit. The whole room itself was a bit to set up the exposition video that they played.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have a problem with the exposition.
That part was okay, yeah. But it was literally, like, the bits they played in between. And they were gag bits. Like,
yeah.
Take a ticket, sir. I'm not going to take a ticket. I'm Loki. And then all of a sudden, like, the bitch who didn't have a ticket got evaporated.
Right.
And then Loki's, like, patting nervously, like, okay. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and again, it's like, I don't have a problem with jokes. It's when your jokes are at the behest of your characters.
Right, when your joke harms the integrity of the character.
Yeah, like that's when I take issue.
Well, remember, homies, going back a little bit here, but not really, because we talk about it all the damn time, that breaks a homie commandment.
It does.
It does, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. One of the 10 golden rules, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Boys and girls.
And it's like, you look at it now and it's like, so here we have this character, this god, who was threatening to take down the Avengers. And now he's, I mean.
Now he's the subject of comic relief.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
At least in this episode, of course.
I hope that changes, but I don't see it changing soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in this episode, he is taken by the TVA, and, you know, he's going to be judged and all, and, you know, whatnot. And one thing that they say here, and I promise, guys, I'm going to get to some good things in this episode, some things that I like, but not yet. So, like, another thing here in this episode that I didn't like was this show's idea and concept of agency and free will, which is basically telling Loki, no, this is going to be different here. So the way that the TVA functions in the TV show is different from the MCU in one minor yet major way, and that is in the comics, the TVA really only exists when people fuck with time in such a way that it can be detrimental. So, like, if you fuck up a timeline by, you know, blatantly time traveling, or if you, you know, take people from another timeline and go somewhere else to have this big multi-universal war or whatever, like, that's when the TVA gets upset when you do that kind of shit.
So, in other words, the TVA should have stepped in when Trunks, you know, did his time fuckery.
Yeah. But here, like, the TVA, they step in when you do something that you're quote unquote not supposed to have done. And I'm like, so
that is true. That is true. So literally they are the judge and jury.
Yeah.
On what you do and don't get to do, on what does and isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is, again, a minor yet major difference from the comics. And the only reason that I even bring it up is because that's kind of dangerous. I mean, in terms of, like, your storytelling, because now you have, so everything that has happened in the MCU, you're telling us, as the viewers, is supposed to have happened. Okay, so, you know, one moment that we both, you know, caught our heads at was that, no, the Avengers were supposed to do every single fucking thing they did.
No, that, homie, that's when we got pissed. That's, I don't know, but that's when I said, no, pause the fucking TV. Let's talk about what's wrong with that statement right now. It's off mic, but it's happening right now. Let's see if we can bring that same angry energy back. I don't believe them. The TVA is full of shit.
Yeah, this,
I mean, them and their 70s decor.
Like, this was some of, like, the worst kind of dribble that they could have put in this show for an explanation of the TVA. Like, no, they were supposed to do that. They were supposed to do all the time travel fuckery that they did. And they did a lot of time travel
fuckery.
They
did so much.
And not a single TVA agent was sent to them because apparently the three space lizard overlords said that they were supposed to.
I love how now we've denounced them to space lizard overlords. Yeah.
Well, they somebody referred to them as space lizards in the TV show. We don't technically see them in this episode, but we see, like, cartoon caricatures of them.
Sure.
But anyways.
No, you're absolutely right. And homies, this is exactly what we were talking about off mic a couple days prior when Loki first came out on Wednesday in the States. That, no, you cannot give me that lazy, one-line, undescript bullshit and just blanket over what was literally a belligerent abuse of time, as we come to understand it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's bullshit.
Honestly, the way I see it, if anything was supposed to happen, Thanos was supposed to win. That's, you had to go back in time. But you had to go back in time to fix it.
The bitch became the apocalypse. Right. Yes. But no, what do we know?
But apparently, no, what was supposed to happen is, yeah, the Avengers was supposed to cause time travel fuckery on many levels. Steve Rogers was supposed to go back in time for, honestly, some kind of selfish reasons to go clap them Peggy cheeks. And then, you know, and they never still haven't explained how his timeline makes sense in the MCU.
They have fucked over the entire concept of time travel. Like, literally, the joke they made in the movie, was so meta that it hurts my brain. It hurts your brain too. Where it's like, where they have that one cutesy scene where they're referencing so many time travel movies, like Back in Time, blah, 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 Black and Back in the Future. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then one of them, I can't remember. I think it was Ant-Man or
it was Ant-Man and War Machine. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them was like, so you're telling me all the time traveling movies are full of shit? Yes. Yeah. That scene was expositionally heavier than just a 1 minute gag.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this movie had no regard for time travel on the complexity that it really, I guess, should be understood. I want to say that next bit important because it's not like we actually have time travel.
All right.
One could wish and hope and we could continue fantasizing about it, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
As it should be understood. Yes. Final answer done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, this is all just episode one, and maybe I'm underestimating Marvel writers. Maybe they're aware that, yeah, the TVA, as it stands in episode one, they seem to be kind of full of shit. And maybe we shouldn't leave, you know, the agency free will up to these, you know, three overlords. Maybe instead that should be determined via people's own will and actions.
Yeah.
The fact that Loki found a way out, making him a variant, I mean, in actuality, it sounds like he just found a fucking way off your hamster wheel.
You know what it sounds like? I'm going to make an old reference here, but bear with me. It sounds like the book Anthem. Are you familiar with that?
Nope.
So it is a short story written by Ayn Rand. I always butcher her pronunciation, so, you know, pretty confident I got it right, 90-10. But if I did get it wrong, the 10%ers who know out there, just please don't get mad at me. But it is a short work of hers. It is actually a very simple work, but it is profoundly symbolic, where there is, like, the main character, the protagonist. First off, it's fascinating because the entire book, except the very end of it, never uses the word I. Like, in the example, Quentin, I like talking on the podcast. I like drinking kombucha, you know. Hey, I gotta go to work tomorrow. Doesn't exist. The concept we is the word that they use for everything. And that was kind of like their, you know, dystopian future where it's like, oh, we will work in the field tomorrow. We will work for the sake of all the people. We will go to bed now. And that was the concept that they reused confusingly in chapter one. And then as you continued on the book and realized, oh no, we is interpreted as I. Because there is no self. No one could ever be themselves. No one could ever have the free will or the ability to choose as an individual. You were the people. The people were you. Everything you did was for one another, never for the self. So you never clocked out early because you're tired or had a mental health day. Fuck that. You are a field worker, and that's what you do. And now the book gets much more complex than that, but this is not the place or time for it. Simply enough stating, the main character found a way out. He found light. Literally, he discovered a light bulb, which is a technology that was not allowed in this dystopian future. Candles were barely allowed. It took him years to appropriate the candle and to allow this for the society. So this one guy found a light bulb, which is symbolic of further knowledge, you know, a good idea, right? Loki found his light bulb. He found the way out. And in this society, this fucking time police, the TVA, TVA?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I got it right. The TVA said, nah, bitch, use your candle. We're the guys who know your free will for you. Or quote, free will, end quote. Because at that point, it's not really free if the Time Lord says, you know what? This is how we're going to have the Avengers come back. Yep, Tony's got to die.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... So it's really fucking weird the direction they're taking. It's a little short-sighted, it seems.
It is, and to be honest, it's a little lazy with the time concepts.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, the Avengers was supposed to do that. You weren't, so that's why you're here.
It's
I almost wish that they had gone a different direction if they were just gonna, you know. But and then again, this is also all just going off of episode one.
True. So they had plenty of time to correct themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, I'm sure, was a, I'm sure that people took this scene that happened in 1549. The first scene that we actually see Owen Wilson's character, Mobius, the first scene that we see him in, he's in like France or Germany in 1549. And he's there investigating the deaths of other time officers who have been killed.
Yeah.
And when he's there, he finds this this little girl who was like a witness there, and he's able to speak her language. And, he asks her, you know, so what happened here? Who killed them? And I almost wish that Marvel had taken this next scene out, just because of how many fucking theories now are going to come about because of the response.
Okay, I don't remember this part, so please continue.
Yeah, so Mobius asked the little kid, who did this? Who killed these people? And the kid points to a mural on the stained glass window, and the mural is one of the devil. And we've been through this with WandaVision and fucking theories.
It's Mephisto. Quentin, you can't convince me of anything else now. We all know the true villain's Mephisto. It always has been.
It was from the very beginning, it's always Mephisto. Yeah.
Falcon Winter Soldier, it wasn't racism, it was Mephisto.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you know what? Now MCU theorists sound just like super old school conservative Christians blaming everything on the devil. It was the fucking devil. It was the devil that did it. It was Satan.
It wasn't Thanos who snapped. It was Satan.
But no. So here's my theory about that whole moment there was. I mean, by the end of the episode, we know that it's Loki. If you couldn't have guessed already, it's Loki, another variant of Loki. A couple thoughts on that. So one, the reason that the child pointed to the mural, it's because the mural had horns on it, and Loki's helmet has those curved horns on it. So this version of Loki, I'm assuming, has the horns on it, which would maybe to someone in the 1500s maybe think that, oh, there's the devil that did this.
Right.
And my other theory here, and this here is going off the strength of something that you said in our preview episode that I can't shake. This next theory of mine, I'm willing to bet the fucking house, all my homie bucks, I'm willing to put on this next theory. I think that the variant of Loki is going to be female Loki. And by the time this show is said and done, female Loki would be another misunderstood Carly Morgenthau sympathetic type villain. I hope that Kevin Feige proves me wrong.
Yeah.
But as of now, because I want to get this out here now while there's like little to no evidence to support this. So that when I'm right, I will be able to say, Marvel, your shit's too goddamn predictable now.
Yeah. Well, now it's recorded. It's evident to all the homies out there. I forgot we talked about that in so many details about potential gender swap Loki. Yeah.
No, we didn't talk about that. What I was referring to was how Marvel's going to try to put in some kind of representation, some kind of messaging.
That I bitched about. Yep.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do it in the form of Lady Loki. I think that's what they're going to go for.
We're done, homies. Good night. I'm fed up. I'm going to eat sweet potato chips and drink kombucha until I go to bed. You heard my plans.
It's just that if that is true, which again, I hope not, and again, I have little to no evidence to support, but it's just...
It's the surprise that's not that difficult to in place in the show.
Right.
Because it is the surprise factor that the average brain wouldn't think of. Mm-hmm. You know, and not to say that the dumb person can't think of that, no. But it's literally, for the theorists out there who like to piece together the show, most people are going to come up with great ideas. You know, kind of like the Rick and Morty fandom, whenever Rick and Morty were trying to the whole fandom was trying to finish Dan Harmon's story before he knew the fucking ending. And then eventually, you know, people come up with great ideas all the time, especially for these Marvel products. Now, what do I think of your gamble? Honestly, the gamble itself, the fact that you just put all the house, all the homie chips on the house, that you're just like raising all in like this, I like it. The actual story itself of like, hey, female Loki, and then the whole could like very, very repetitive Marvel formula bullshit of, oh, but I'm a misunderstood villain, so I'm not a villain, but I'm just really a villain archetype. Mm-hmm. And I need you to love me so I can become a good person. Love me. Then, yeah, go fuck yourself sideways.
Yeah. And again, I hope I'm wrong. And I hope you are too, buddy.
I hope you are. The theory is awesome. I love it. Oh, but
that's the thing, man. The only evidence I have to support my theory is the fucking past.
It's just exactly. The repetition that Marvel's like, we're going to do this again and again and again and again. The formula doesn't change. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll
especially
see.
Especially if we're getting a female Thor.
Oh, yeah. We're getting Lady Thor. Yeah. So, yeah.
We already know that.
Yeah, so, I'm sure we'll probably get the Lady Loki as well.
I got the name wrong in my brain, and I have to talk about it out loud. Homies, this is stupid shit, and I am sorry to the actress and to the community listening. So I'm in my brain joking about Thor 4, and like, oh yeah, you know, what's her name? Jodie Foster decided to come back.
Jodie Foster.
Just because she said, oh, I get to be Thor now? Fuck yeah, I'll come back. And I'm like, that wasn't Jodie Foster. It was Natalie Portman, Kevin.
Yep.
It's like, and then I just imagined Jodie Foster as Lady Thor. Yeah, so there you have it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where my brain went to. Yeah.
You know, yeah. the not to linger long on that thought.
As unnecessary as it is, yeah.
Is only funny to me because she, of course, in my mind, is most well known for being in Silence of the Lambs, who stars Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins, mm-hmm. who also plays Odin. Mm-hmm. And so it's just funny seeing. Picturing those two together. Well, hello, Clarice. It's been a while.
Yep. looks at her. Hello, Thor. It's been a while.
You used to have a penis, I believe.
You used to be called Odin's son. Yeah. Odin's daughter is a long last name.
Oh, anywho.
Here we are, folks.
Here we are. Yeah, so... God damn it. And I promise there are things about this episode that I like. The more that I talk, the more I'm getting lost.
The more
lost.
We think about it, the more we're like, wait a minute, look at this nugget of shit in here.
This episode also seems to have fired its editor because there was just a scene, maybe it was a mashup of scenes actually, that just went on and on about Loki being deconstructed as a character by Mobius. So Loki, why do you kill Loki? Why does and just fucking breaking down the character of Loki until there was fucking nothing left.
Yeah.
And it's like, do we really need this? And if so, do we need this much of it? It was a little meticulous.
So admittedly, I kind of like the psychological evaluation of it all because I love the homies. I hate small. I hate the shallow. I hate the, hello, how's your day? Good. Me too. How's the weather? Fuck the weather. I don't care. No one cares. We're all here. Unless it's horrible weather, then we all kind of care. But that might have sounded insensitive. But the actual real conversation is fascinating, especially talking about the mind, the self, the you know, the tics, the behavioral patterns and whatnot. I like that. I like it a lot. And I kind of dug it for this. The way they played it and back and forth with Owen Wilson somehow being both time cop but also psych doctor, that played a little weird for me. Where he was somehow, you know, head detective of time agency. Look, I'm time cop, bitch. But also being skilled enough to be the psych doctor evaluation was a little funky for me, how he was multifaceted on that level. Which, you know, he can't not be. I'm not saying that that's, you know... You're this guy, you can't be that guy too. That would be short-sighted of myself. But it was the fact that he went from being time detective to psych doctor. They got to the point Owen Wilson wanted, or Mobius, excuse me, the character, wanted Loki to get to in the self-realization only for the quick wrap-up the end episode gave me. Notice the last minute of the episode... That was probably one of the things I sat down tonight ready to talk about in discomfort because they got to the quick psych evaluation where Loki finally admitted the deep inner truth of I like to hurt other people because it makes me feel less weak, or whatever his verbiage was, whatever his wording was. It was something very similar. Yeah,
whatever they could say to humanize this God character.
Which, you know, I know the contradictive joke you just made there. Mm-hmm. That's fucking hilarious, and it's sad that it's true and exactly what they did. Now, what they did with that information, why Mobius decided to break down Loki for such a prolonged amount of time within the episode was just so in the last minute, we can get a man who is trying to both kill people in and escape the facility to go buddy cop with Mobius. Mm. And that's the part where it's like, I'm sorry, you rushed the fuck out of this. Could we not have spent a little bit of next episode kind of like, at least like, turning the heat up slowly to prepare Loki to be a teammate instead of, you're right, I did this because I'm a dick and I don't like to be weak. Well, you should come work with us. We need your help. Okay. You know, that felt very rushed, and that part felt very fabricated for me.
Yeah, it was probably one of the lazier parts of the episode, and I understand the reasoning behind it. You know, you do this because this isn't the same Loki from, you know,
Thor 2 or whatever.
Oh, I was going to say this isn't the same Loki from Infinity War. You know, like this is a Loki who was, you know, had bloodlust. You know what I mean? Who was at the time a straight up villain, and then throughout the course of the movies, he just kind of became whatever the fuck, you know, people wanted him to become. You know, you can call it character growth. I just call it flip-flopping the way that it was done. But
agreed.
But, you know, here in this psych scene, it was like we want to deconstruct this character so we can get him to that point where he can be a good guy again. And we're going to do that by any means necessary. So if we need to spend, you know, 10 minutes or however long, you know, evaluating Loki, having him look at scenes from his future self or whatever, then that's what we'll do. It just,
felt artificial.
It felt artificial.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, like to prepare even for this show coming out in the weeks leading up, I was reading the Loki Omni, I forget the name of the Arthur
Gillen. But I just can't read the first name from here.
Yeah, I think it's Kieran, but anyways,
yes,
yeah, it's an excellent book, and I love that book because in it, you know, we get to see more of a good side of Loki, him take more of a less antagonistic approach to things, but he is still the god of mischief, and there's still a part of him that will never be able to be reasoned with. And there's just like so much nuance, you know, there's so much layers to him, and it's not like he's a character who can just readily be reasoned with or trusted. And I guess I don't want Loki in the MCU to be boiled down to this, to becoming yet another sympathetic villain who we all look at and go, he's not such a bad guy.
Right.
I mean, the superhero movie industry is fucking filled to the brim with them.
Yeah.
And I don't need to see another one.
Now, the first couple of times it happened, it made for great movie watching because it added a complexity that, you know, older comics didn't have yet because older comics didn't write them in yet, you know. Unless, of course, we're talking about your top-tier villains. Like, no, we already knew Magneto. He had a couple of good points up until he took a wrong turn. Yep. Now, by the way, wrong turn was, you know, trying to become genocidal to humans. But, no, at this point, it has become an exercised cliche. It's become overdone, which is, you know, one of the definitions, the multi-point definitions of cliche. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at this point, I think, and the thing that really sours it, the thing that really bugs me about it is that it didn't happen. It didn't happen because the story needed it to happen. It happened because the fandom wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, Loki turned face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yes. No, I meant what I said. Loki turned face because audience members loved Tom Hiddleston and they loved his portrayal as Loki.
And wanted to see him as a good guy, so
yeah. So he went from being the villain, the dude, the King Douche-a-Lot in Avengers 1, to what he came out to be later on. You know, the sacrificial brother who helped. You know, no, he didn't help. He just died.
He tried.
He tried. Yeah, he did do a little little mischief in the end, but he still died. And then people mourned him, even though he was kind of the douchebag that. Well, as we saw in this episode, kind of, you know, was domino that helped to push everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there were good things about the episode. I promise. We'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because remember, I complimented it earlier. You know, it was still deserves those compliments.
It does.
It's we gotta talk about the Sour Patches.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just in this first episode, there were just quite a few more than I wanted.
It pisses me off. There's one more I gotta talk about too, and it bugs me. I know we talked about it, and the way we discussed it, it made sense, but no, it doesn't, and no one can tell me otherwise.
It's about the gems.
It's about the fucking gems, dude. Yep. It ruined it, because the whole first phase, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the whole first phase was talking about how powerful these fucking things were. There was a gem? Bro, did you know there was a gem? Where if you grabbed it as a human being, you fucking died?
You were fucking died.
You fucking died. That's how powerful it was. Yep. And these bitches had them in a drawer like they were a bag of Skittles that you accidentally poured into the drawer. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, yeah. I'm sorry. Get out of here.
Yeah, you know what? You're correct about that.
Yes.
And it's like I and sometimes like it's easy for me to conflate things from the comics with things in the MCU. But, you know, honestly, you're right. They never explained that in the MCU. Of course, in the comic books, the stones,
the gems.
Actually,
yeah, you taught us that.
Yeah. Well, they're gems.
In the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gems only work, and actually, fucking comics. They changed them to stones now in the comics.
Get the fuck out of here.
So whatever you want to call them,
get off your shit.
The gemstones only work in the universe that they were created in, but that was never explicitly explained at all in the MCU.
No.
So just to see a drawer full of them,
it's insulting.
It is. It's like, so what did the last dozen years mean? You know, like what did Thanos Quest, also the name of an amazing comic run, what did that mean? You know, like
the thing that pisses me off is that we used these gems to hold back and defeat some of the most powerful god-tier entities known to man and known to Asgardian God. Who is the villain in Doctor Strange? The force that he had to use the time gem.
Dormammu.
Thank you. Fucking Dormammu himself.
Yep.
Are you telling me that Sacred Time Lizard is more powerful than that?
That's an excellent question.
Dude, I mean, I trust me, I don't know if time Sacred Timeline Lord versus Dormammu would make a cool Bat in the Sun video. I don't know. But in regards to the MCU, the thing that is insulting, and it doesn't matter whether or not one entity is more powerful than the other, the thing that bugs me is that they spent over a decade, brother, writing and telling us and showing us and demonstrating in such a great way in more than one movie how great and powerful and omnipotent these gems are. And if they're together, bitches be unstoppable.
Yeah. It makes it feel like they don't mean anything.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One gave life. One literally took a computer program and said, nah, bitch, fuck that Clippy. You becoming Vision now, you know? And one trapped Dormammu in a headache, head splitting. Yeah. Okay. Strange, fuck you. Get out of here. I'm tired of dealing with your human self.
Fuck
you
off, Sorcerer Wizard.
Supreme. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And now there's just kind of a drawer full of them.
They literally just look like rock candies now. And it's like, oh, yeah, that? Those things. Oh, man. Those things. We get them all the time. In fact, some people just use them as paper. Get the fuck out of here, you office person.
Go learn what a fish is.
Yeah, why don't they know what fishes are?
I don't know.
I mean, do fishes not exist in all the timelines?
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, the concept of the TVA being now, by definition, the most powerful entity known, or quote-unquote known, to the MCU is ridiculous to me. It literally usurps and degrades the decade plus of writing and storytelling that they have given to us prior. Because it's like, I'm sorry. No. There's no way you can tell me that an entity about time would not relish the fucking time stone.
Yeah.
That itself is a conundrum. So I'm sorry. It's been 50 minutes and we've been bitching this whole time and I'm not helping. I'm just bitching more on top of bitching. Bitches be me, man. Bitches be tripping.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry because I'm happy to talk about it and get it off my chest. But at the same time, here we are. So here we are.
Yeah, man. I'm right there with you. And of course, like the episode, it does end with us seeing this cloaked figure killing more TVA agents. And we never get to see who the cloaked figure is. And it's really just a silhouette, which as little evidence as that is, I think that does lean a little bit more towards my theory that this is no ordinary Loki. This is going to be Lady Loki, okay? It's for the same reason that, you know, we don't hear anything from Taskmaster and Black Widow. I still have all my chips on Taskmaster being a female
Taskmaster. And you're splitting the chips. Yeah. You're splitting them chips, bro.
That's right. Hey, listen, I better fucking win. If not, I won't have a place to live or I won't be able to get home.
That does remind me, on a comedic note, I saw this meme and I wish I posted it. I think I saved it on my phone, so I think I still will. Where, you remember the awesome scene, when Falcon is running and Captain America is like, on your left. And then it happens again, on your left. And then, like, as they're coming, the sun is risen and they're, like, finishing the run. You hear Anthony Mack like, no. Yeah. No, you don't. On your left.
The Black Widow movie and all that.
Yep. You knew what I was talking about. Yeah, Black Widow movies like WandaVision, on your left.
Yeah.
Falcon Winter Soldier, on your left.
And Loki.
On your left. And it's just like, no, damn it. Yeah.
This show, I mean, don't get me wrong, this show, or at least this episode, it wasn't absolutely dog shit terrible, you know, it was,
The acting was phenomenal.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston just continues to show how great he is.
Owen impressed me.
I typically enjoy Owen Wilson and whatever he's doing, and, I think he's gonna be good here as Mobius. I liked him here in this role. I gotta be honest, I didn't like the psycho babble scene trying to deconstruct Loki.
I gotcha.
I guess I like how grand things are, even if things don't really make a whole lot of sense right now with what they're doing with the TVA.
I really hope they put a Band-Aid on and attempt to fix some of the askewed information we received in episode 1.
Yeah,
I have optimism for that. Mm-hmm. I do. I really do.
Yeah. Me too. Mm. I'm curious to see like what happens in the next episodes.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you're gonna win back the pot with the gamble of Lady Loki. Lady Loki.
And you know, fuck it. While I'm at it, man. I'll double down again on Loki, Lady Loki, Taskmaster being a female. Who else? you know, if I knew that Flag Smasher was going to be in Falcon Winter Soldier, I would have said Carl Morgenthau. You know, they just put a I on the end of his name.
Carly.
Yeah, made him Carl. Yeah. Had I known that, I didn't know that Flag Smasher was going to be in that.
Yeah, I already forgot about her altogether.
But they all have the same fucking plot line.
They do.
We are sympathetic. We are doing this for a reason.
Yes, and it's like, no, you're fucking not.
And I said it then when we covered Falcon Winter Soldier. I'll say it again. What the fuck are you going to do when you actually bring Magneto in, a character who originated this, a character who has done this literally better than anyone?
Exactly.
It's going to be the, if Taskmaster is in fact the woman, it'd be the same thing. Taskmaster was a part of the Red Room with the other widow agents. Failed experiment. Her sisters let her down, and now she has a vendetta against Natasha and Yelena. Putting it all in, brother.
How dare you spoil the movie for me? How dare you spoil the movie for me?
Oh, shit. We'll see.
When does Black Widow come out?
Who the fuck knows? We don't have tickets yet. I think July. I'm pretty sure July.
Now that we said it, it's going to be postponed until September again.
It cannot be postponed again. Oh, shit.
Brother, you just did the one thing that's going to postpone it again.
You know, maybe now, in retrospect, I should have asked this question at the beginning of the episode instead of the end.
Oh, yeah, the important question we're to ask. Yeah, what's up?
Because now I feel like I've maybe spoiled the ground. Sure. But my question was, as it stands, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and the first episode of Loki... So far, how do you think that stacks against Daredevil Season 1, Jessica Jones Season 1, and Luke Cage Episode 1?
I'm sorry, are you serious? Oh, I didn't know this was a serious question. I could have answered this before, right now. Brother, I can answer this again off mic. Are you kidding me? The Netflix programs were fucking astounding. They were not without their flaws. I will be the first to admit that amongst a crowd of fans out there. But, brother, are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Dude, I have rewatched Daredevil umpteenth times. Jessica Jones Season 1 is straight money. Luke Cage Episode 1? First off, Luke Cage Season 1, really. I love that shit.
From the content amount that we have.
Sure.
You know, to make the playing ground as even as I could.
I feel you. Okay, that's fair. Oh, I get what you mean. Okay. Yeah. Hence the episode once. Okay, thank you. That I didn't think about that at first. But no, content-wise, brother, if I can go back in time and be the TVA and correct some timeline bullshit where someone took their free agency and used it against the way I want them to use it and justify it by saying, nope. Sacred Time Lizard said you can't do this, so you can't do this. It would be fixing the cancellation of those shows and making them stay. Yep. As long as they needed to. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I would let them end as Time Lord Lizard Man, whatever the fuck I'd be called. I don't remember. I'm not taking them seriously. But I would have said, no, we're not canceling you preemptively. I would have let you run your course and then finish on your dime. I'm going to point the question back at you, but same?
Ditto. I mean, yeah, there's...
Ditto. Hell yeah.
Yeah, Daredevil Season 1 and Jessica Jones Season 1, like those two seasons, if you put those two seasons up against just, you know, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, on one hand, it's not fair to compare. On the other hand...
But they're Marvel shows. We should be able to compare.
I was going
to
say, on the other hand, one of these networks had, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on these shows, and the other one had, like, a shoestring. You know, yes, I don't think it's any comparison. I think hands down, Netflix did it better, you know, for season comparison.
Are you kidding me? The action, the story, the fucking music, dude, the quality of the villains, mm-hmm. the differences in the story, bro, the heroes themselves, bro, Charlie fucking Cox, bro. My voice can get much higher, bro.
I was just thinking about that earlier today, and I was like, there really is no competition. And it is, I say it's not fair to, you know, the Disney Plus shows, but at the same time, I'm like, why isn't it fair?
They had the fatter pig backing them.
Yeah,
they had a piggy bank that ate other piggy banks.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that Daredevil maybe had... tenth of the budget that Falcon and Winter Soldier had. You know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, I think, had like $150 million budget. Like, Daredevil Season 1, they were so stretched for money, they couldn't show Daredevil swinging by his billy club because they didn't have the fucking money. And they ended up not even needing it.
No, not even.
But, yeah, I guess I'll say this also, this one last thought about Loki before we wrap up, and that is... The DB Cooper scene, if nothing else, was surprising.
That was surprising.
I did not see that coming. I was upset because I remember we saw that shot in one of the trailers. We didn't know the context of it. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that he was actually DB Cooper.
But I
really did like that. If for no other reason, like it was such a fucking surprise and came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
seeing Loki, you know, be DB Cooper. But then my immediate thoughts were like, a lot of these Disney shows, you know, they're for all ages. And it's like, how many people under the age of fucking 30 know who?
I didn't.
Oh.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you, because I didn't.
I probably should have raised the bar. I mean, how many people under the age of like fucking 45? Right. Really know who DB Cooper is. Like he was a fucking robber.
Before yeah. this episode aired tonight, if you asked homies an honest question, if you could be the TVA and backtrack and ask the homies an honest question, who here knows, and then follow up with who here gives a fuck about DB Cooper and the history of, and we'd be like, oh, that's really cool. I mean, it's cool history, but I don't care. Now people are learning about him on Facebook. Because people are reposting and resharing memes and shit about the DB Cooper story.
Oh, okay.
That's how I learned about him, because after the episode aired, they showcased Loki's scene, a snapshot from it,
mm-hmm.
and DB Cooper's actual pick. Yeah. And they actually like told you the history of. And it's like, oh, cool. The more you know. Okay. Now I'm all caught up.
Yeah, oddly enough, the way I first learned about DB Cooper was one of my fucking favorite teen comedies I watched when I was a kid or a teenager, Without a Paddle, with Seth Green, Matthew Lillard.
I didn't know you were a fan of that.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. But you know, in that movie, I think they find DB's his stash, like really? the $2 million that he stole. Yeah.
Oh, I remember watching that movie. I'd have to go back and see if that is the DB Cooper. Yeah.
And then like, I was kind of enthralled by it. So like, not very long after that, I watched a doc on DB Cooper. And of course, it's kind of like those Finding Bigfoot docs. You don't really learn anything about like what actually happened to the man. No one really knows. There was this one cool like unsolved mystery thing where apparently one guy on this deathbed said to his wife, "I am DB Cooper." So for all we know, that motherfucker could have actually been DB Cooper.
If not, oh, that explains the money.
If not, then her husband was a hell of a troll.
One of the OGs.
Yeah, one of the OGs. So as a whole, like I did have a lot of fun with this episode. Like I like the premise, the setup. It was rocky getting there. It's gonna be interesting to see like what these next five episodes have to offer.
Yep.
And don't think, guys, that we've gone sour on the show or on Marvel. Nothing like that. It's more so that
we know they can do better.
We know they can do better because we've seen them do so much better.
Mm-hmm. Even though they're trying to downplay it now, we know they can do better.
Yeah, for sure. You got any closing thoughts on this one?
Not really. If I had any more closing thoughts, I would basically just like give one shout out message to the Marvel writing board. I know we kind of shit on you guys a lot, but if you had to like take anything away from tonight's episode, just stop fucking with time science. Just don't try to explain it. Just, we understand. You don't understand. It's okay. Let's run with it. All right? We can all play ball. Yeah. We'll all play ball together. Take Dan Harmon's rule. Don't write about time travel.
Yeah, don't do it. Look, here's my rule for all future film or TV makers. If you have the thought to write about time travel, honestly ask yourself this question. Can you do it better than Terminator 1 and 2? If you cannot, leave it the fuck alone.
Are you Christopher Nolan?
Oh, okay. But
yeah, man.
Yeah, that's. I think I'm good now.
Me too.
Yeah, guys, so what did you homies think of Loki Episode 1? Hopefully we didn't piss in your Cheerios too much.
You might not want to eat those Cheerios anymore.
But that is all we have for this one, guys. I want to know your thoughts, your theories on this show. Hit us up at superherohomies@gmail.com or any of our social media outlets. We're always active, live, and listening.
Hell Yeah, and homies, remember again, for every like, reshare, every subscription, every comment left, you are throwing in a vote to help Quentin get a fucking bookshelf.
I don't need help. I don't have a problem.
Homies, listen to that denial. He is suffering, okay? Help him suffer less.
You can really help us by signing up for Patreon.
You're right. I'm sorry. I was just...
You guys can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/superherohomies. We're always uploading content there. So if you like our form of conversations about superhero nerd topics, then you'll love our content about video games, non-superhero movies, and other non-superhero related nerdery that we think is quite awesome. So check out our Patreon page, guys. For $1 to $3 a month, you guys can really support us and get a lot more cool content.
That is exactly true. Quick advertisement pitch for that. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about Biomutant, the recent video game, which has come out. Yeah, we finished it, and we're ready to talk about it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That will be all for now, homie. So until next time, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I am Superhero Homie Kevin.